ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John Lobster. The summer of 2018 saw a few breakout hits, but none more surprising than John M. Chu's Crazy Rich Asians. Which earned $238 million worldwide and came in at number 7 on the domestic box office between May and Labor Day. Based on the novel by Kevin Kwan, Crazy Rich Asians. Boasted the first time a film featured a majority Asian cast in a modern setting since 1993's The Joy Luck Club. Nothing for that. Okay. And along with fellow 2018 mega hit Black Panther, Crazy Rich Asians proved that American audiences are craving diversity in films. Now Legends Podcast is taking a first-class flight to Singapore to learn how to make dumplings the old-fashioned way and get some sort of bias complaint filed against us by for Beef's little portmanteau.
You know, it's
probably
you just smash them together. I do that with lots of words. It happens.
Does it make them less racist, man?
It's not racist.
I know what you mean, but
anyways,
you know,
it means cranberry,
right? Cranberry raisins. I mean, I'm a child of the '80s, so those are right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, craisins are good.
I'm not sure you guys are helping there,
but
not
to be confused with a blockbuster hit. And I'm talking about a $30 million movie that made $238 million at the box office worldwide and knocked it out of the park.
That's crazy, but
somebody's crazy rich, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. But on the other end, well, full disclosure, I work in Chinatown in Montreal. So, yes. Go figure. I'm around a bunch of Asian for the last 10 years. So,
yes.
I had the opportunity to watch this movie with someone that represented the culture. And
yes.
I have the opportunity to be kind of in the culture. And I'm so happy to say that most of them all told me the same thing.
Like, yes.
It's not a really good movie, but at least we recognized ourselves.
Yes.
I was like,
so,
oh,
this
That's
movie
it.
Is not without controversy, so despite the fact that it featured a majority Asian cast, it also garnered some criticism because not all of the cast members were ethnically accurate, if that's an okay thing to say, which I don't know if it really is, but
in this case,
for instance, Henry Golding, who plays Nick, the male lead, is actually biracial. He's half Caucasian.
Looks very American.
Yeah. And
wait, that doesn't mean he's half Asian. So he's still part Asian, right? I mean,
that is correct. And you never see the father, which I think that's interesting. You never see the dad. You only meet the mother, which is interesting. And they mention that he's around, but
and he's the guy that has the money because the mom married into the family. Mm-hmm. So
yep. He's the one with the dough. And you know, some other stuff kind of the dumplings, yes. And some other stuff kind of throughout the movie. And it also represents, Singapore specifically is a very diverse city. There are lots of ethnicities represented in Singapore, but you only see Chinese Singaporeans really represented here. So
did they pay to put that hotel on the movie? Because I know this hotel because I'm kind of a architecture fan.
You mean the three towers with the ship on top, which is like the coolest building in the world?
Kinda, but you know, when I saw it first, I was like, yeah, of course you show the most known building in that city, but they keep showing it nonstop, like they're shooting there.
I would imagine that there was a hefty amount of product placement and tourism dollars in this movie.
It's a great hotel.
Right. So I kind of feel like part of the movie is let's show Singapore and all the cool things you can do in Singapore. Like you can go to the food bazaar and have the best street food in the world, and you can go spa.
I wanted to visit Singapore.
They're walking through the airport and they say, oh my God, it has a movie theater and a shopping mall and all of this stuff. And they're like, it just puts any other airport in the world to shame. So I feel like
you bring the Bray, I bring the Shark, and we just go to Singapore.
Yeah, no, it looks beautiful.
Vacation place.
It looked like the travel brochure, right? I mean, clearly,
yeah. I agree.
I mean, this, I will admit. The movie's long, right? Let's admit the movie is a bit longer than it should be.
What's the runtime on it?
201.
2 hours.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So. At first I'm like, okay, there's no way I'm going to like this. And I got a few minutes.
This should have been a tight,
Hour and a half, maybe
100 minutes. Yeah.
140.
So it's like the beginning's kind of slow. And then there's a few things that make me laugh and I'm like, okay, I might like this. And then it gets long. And then there's a few things that make me laugh and then it gets long. And then there's like all these, I don't know, kind of preachy, kind of fun things, but in the end, it still had my heartstrings. I was laughing. I was having a good time with it. Does that mean I like rom-coms?
Yeah, maybe, because, you see, I was with a friend that I specifically invite to watch this, and at the 51-minute mark, which I marked that, this is the end of Act 1.
Right.
We stopped to go and judge some of the Canada's finest to be able to get through this bullshit.
It definitely ticks the boxes, and there's some subplots. The main subplot is Astrid, the sister, who, you know, has her breakup with her husband.
I love her.
Who the fuck cares in this movie?
Because she's from Humans, so I love her.
Gemma Chan, yeah. So there's something happening where I looked up. So at the end of the movie, I always check like the Wikipedia page and see what's going on. Not one, but two sequels are in development on this movie. So you have to think, okay, the main story is the main couple and their relationship. And then the B story that gets the spinoff sequel is Astrid and her, now being single.
But then they're going to look back in on how are the brother and sister doing?
Yep.
Or sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm. So they could do a crazy rich cinematic universe if they wanted.
I think they want to because this made so much money. And again, to go back to, I think the first appeal of this movie is that do you know how many Asian there is in the world versus how many Asian representation there is in movies?
And so we're watching the movie and I'm like, oh my God, it's the guy from Superstore. And oh my God, it's Awkwafina. Yep. And that guy was on Glee and it's Ken Jeong from Community and whatever. And they just keep piling people in there. And obviously Michelle Yeoh is, you know, a goddess and fantastic in this.
She is the star of Asian stardom.
Right. Yes.
Like and Chai on Fat, I would say.
And that's what I was like, okay, so who's going to be the father, right? Because it's got to be somebody epic, right? You don't set up the whole family and then not have it be like, yeah, I was definitely thinking, Chow Yun Fat. Jet Li, he's a little... physically, he's not as impressive. You know what I mean? Like, he's a baller dude, but he's kind of short. So, like, I'm like, okay, it's got to be somebody awesome. But they could, again, they could totally keep doing these every couple of years. And I got to say, like, the representation of it is so great. Like, I totally get that this movie is not made for me, but a lot of movies that come out are not made for me, so I don't, you know.
Actually, most movies that come out are made for us.
Yeah, are not. Well, they are, but they're not made for me specifically. Like all these prayer movies, and what's the new one that they keep cranking out? The Dogs a dog's purpose and a dog's journey. And so, like, I like dogs. I have a dog. I'm not going to go see the movie where they kill the dog repeatedly. Like,
that's I'm not looking at a movie that they kill the dog. I love my dog too much to do that to myself. Right.
And they're like, oh, no, this movie's for dog lovers. No, it's not. No, it isn't. It's for dog-loving masochists.
Agreed. Oh, my God. I don't want to see a dog die. Did you know, my dog got sick a couple of months ago,
know,
and you
yeah.
guys knew how a mess I was. I don't want to watch that in a movie. Come on.
But to bring this back to what we're talking about here, I will watch a movie full of ridiculously good-looking people having hijinks and romance and family drama, and it does. I like to me doesn't matter. Asian, white, African, like American, well, like whatever. I don't care who they are. British people. God, the royals. We go nuts.
Yeah,
like,
it was a lot of stupid fun though because it was every family. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it wasn't just Asian families. They played on some of the stereotypes, but it was more the drama of every family and then bringing the new love to the party.
The thing I love is that they played on the stereotype of the stereotype, because my first reflex is to basically dress up like a Christmas tree in red and black. And my friend's like, yeah, it depends when. But that's her reflex. And she's like, okay, no, you're going to go in blue and white, which is the thing that she's not supposed to do every time. And they always go back from red to blue and white, which red is basically the color that brings money every new Chinese New Year's and stuff like that. You go in red. So that's why, as I said, the trope of the trope. The trope is like, oh, my reflex is as soon as I go Chinese, I go red. But no, not exactly. You need...
Right.
To at the same way that you don't dress like an elf for...
Gotta look like an Egyptian goddess, right?
Yeah, well...
What do you mean you don't dress like an elf? When don't you dress like an elf?
Well, only at Christmas.
I've seen your shoes. Don't lie to me.
I dress like an elf year-round, and I go around saying, they're taking the hobbits to Isengard.
But that's why that makes you
different
special
elf.
And cool.
That's true. Yes.
Spool.
We did it. We totally did it. How do you guys rate that? I know we're talking about a rom-com, which is unusual for us. But, I kind of knew that there were certain things that had to happen in this movie. They obviously went in as a strong couple, but, you know, things were going to go out of whack.
They had to get broken down by the ex who was trying to be the friend, and then the other catty girls.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and at 2 hours, it did start to feel a bit... You're getting the paint
long?
By numbers.
I think
definitely.
around
boring.
I think around the second time they're like, no, we decide. And she like mouths at the wedding, I love you. And you're like, oh, it's a really emotional moment. And you're like, great, this is it. And then they like break it down again. And then they have to
come talk to us now at the thing. What the hell, Granny?
Yeah. Oh, I don't like this movie. I'm sorry. I'm giving my end now.
Is it too, because it's too textbook and not creative enough?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
And it's too long. Again, if they had shaved a LT 20 minutes of this movie, I'm not even asking for half an hour. A LT 20 minutes out of this movie, it would have been great. But when we get to the moment where at the party, because it always need to happen at the party, the final party... The mom is a bitch and's like, oh, yeah, I hired someone to spy on you. And this guy is getting his dick sucked in the background. Like, oh, and look, the family is a mess, even if they think they're so great. Where I'm like, oh, my God, I can't do this anymore.
Sure.
And the movie at this point goes so textbook, as you said.
Right.
But instead of doing it like in a way where I can accept it because it's so, again... So short, so concise, where I'm like, I'm having fun. I get bored.
So she didn't have a private investigator to figure out that her daughter was getting cheated on by her husband? Like, she didn't have that on lockdown?
Well, why do all that shit has to come during the party.
Right.
And to be honest, the sister, at first I thought, okay, she's buying blood diamond. That's the first thing I went to because I'm so American.
Right.
So I'm going, she's buying blood diamond, so she's going to be bad. And then the story is that her story is tragic and everything. I'm like, the whole movie is so rote.
Yeah.
And the B subplot is the subplot that could be the most interesting.
Right.
But the way you presented it to me,
it's the sequel I want. The sequel I want more, I think, is her story. But
agreed. She's the most interesting character, but the way they present her to me, she's fluff.
Yeah.
And again, I think that's the second sin that this movie commit after boring me. Which, boring me in a movie is first sin. If you bore me, I'm sorry. You're not in the legend category already, and awesome is going to be a stretch.
So. I did kind of want her to end up with Awkwafina, just to turn things on their head. Like, she's from another rich Asian family, so she checks all the boxes. She's just, you know, a girl.
Agreed. That would have been fun and a nice dichotomy. But you know what? You could do that for a sequel.
Yeah.
I haven't read the book. I know they
exist. Yeah, I don't know. There's a whole series, sure, and they're it's good. So, yeah, I would say the best scene in the movie is the Mahjong scene at the end, and that felt a little rushed. Like, I thought that was one of the stronger scenes. And, of course, you saw it coming, but at the same time, like, I think we needed, for those of us who don't understand the rules of Mahjong, maybe a little bit more
rummy,
time.
Right?
Okay. I don't know what that is, but all right. So let's just sit with that a little
goldfish
bit longer.
Sure. You know, I mean,
is it dominoes?
No, it is kind of, but you're not building off it. It's like you put your pieces. It's basically, how do you not know rummy? It's like cards. You put your pieces down, and if you can't use it,
tiles.
But yeah, but
it's
same thing
with tiles.
Yeah, it's the
Got
same
it,
thing.
Basically.
You like you're trying
is,
to make
is it
pairs,
is it like
three
euchre?
Of a kind. I think so. Well,
is it like pinochle?
Threes, four of a kind, I believe. Runs, maybe even because you saw at the end they all had it grouped.
Yeah,
and you can hold tiles back to block your opponent as well. It depends upon what tiles are more.
Gotcha.
Exactly. The only thing I don't understand in this particular version of the game are the symbols, because you can have the same game with a bunch of different symbols depending on which language you're talking. And this movie is a Cantonese movie. They're not talking Mandarin. And I know everybody that thinks Chinese goes to Mandarin because that's basically simplify Mandarin. Simplify Cantonese. Send us an email if I'm that wrong.
Sure.
It's not.
I will. I'll be sure to correct your grammar.
There you go. But basically, it's Cantonese. So I don't understand the exact symbol, but think poker or rummy, where you exchange cards. You know, the basic poker with five cards, where you exchange cards to have better ones, but you pass them around, not knowing what the other person has. So there's that old, again, poker thing where you're bluffing to each other, and it's all a question of who gets power. So as soon as you get like, okay, this is poker, you get the scene right away. One of person's gonna probably it's a mini movie. What the you have the first act where both people are looking at each other. After that, you have the second act where the person who's gonna win is basically gonna get into a little bit of trouble and have difficulty getting on top. And in the end, as a surprise event, you get on top. And that's exactly what
that's happened. Like my sex life.
That's right.
Yes, it is.
Uh huh. Okay, so I think we've shared what we liked and didn't especially care for with Crazy Rich Asians.
One extra thing, maybe.
Okay, go ahead.
A movie is not good to me when your main event is showing me how to spend money. This movie is not showing me the money of the movie. It's
I don't know.
Showing
it's
me what you can do with money, and I find it like fluffy.
Yeah. Well, I think there is a little bit of this is Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, right? Like, it's supposed to be exposing you to the excess that goes with being a crazy rich Asian. It comes off a little 50 Shades of Grey-y, right?
50 like, Shades of Asian?
Yeah. Oh, that would have been a good one to put at the bottom.
50 Shades of... Ooh, that's racist.
No.
Yeah, see, that's fucking...
Cut that the fuck out. Dude. We cannot have that. Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
I'm just going to pretend that... Put a big red post-it on that.
I will hear that one. I really hope I do. And we're just going to leave our reaction in after
Holy
that.
Holy shit.
My Crasians...
You should just bleep it out.
My Crasians is nothing compared to that.
Yeah. You should just have it like 50 Shades of Bleep and then just...
I think I got something for it.
Okay. So, but it's a lot of like this wish fulfillment that goes along with it. The bachelor party on the cargo ship, the container ship, I absolutely loved.
Oh, that was so
great.
I wanted
to be more of that, but... It
when he like, shot a girl in the stomach.
Which one of us three as a pilot in disguise to get us out of it, of there? I'm just asking because I'm not the one.
So the other thing, kind of to go along with this movie, is a couple of years ago there was a Sex in the City movie where they went to Dubai.
Yes,
and it was a lot of the same stuff, and they caught a lot of flack for it. Because they played on all the stereotypes, right? And it was obviously, it was four white women, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it's a lot different.
So this one I kind of think is guilty of doing the same thing, but it does it with an all-Asian cast, so it gets away with it. I don't know if you had it as, like, white lead characters just, like, extravagantly spending money and then completely ignoring, you know, I assume that Singapore is a nice place to live, but I assume there's also people who aren't in the 1% that don't necessarily live that extravagantly. So,
crazy richly.
Yeah. So maybe, I mean, Astrid was the only one who kind of had like some charity in her heart, it seemed, but they could have explored that side a little bit more.
Well, even the character that have quote unquote less money are shown as the Donald Trumps of Singapore, which, no offense to Americans, but that's not a compliment.
Right. Well, there's some dispute over whether Donald Trump actually is rich, but that's another.
There's that too.
Yeah.
But
he has a lot of debt. He's really good at declaring bankruptcy.
But I'm going to agree with you. I think this movie would not have got away with it if it was not of this gender bending.
I would say
which is not a bad thing either, because there's not enough of that. So, good.
Yeah.
But I don't have to find a movie well written because of that. I'm going to, before we get to any rating, I'm going to applaud the fact that they spend $100 million to make this movie with a 100% Asian cast.
Yeah. Well, they spent $30 million. I don't know what you said there, but...
30?
Only 30, yeah.
This costs only $30
million? That's
they
what
underpaid some people.
Well, it's cast with people that, you know, don't necessarily earn a lot in Hollywood, which is a shame. Like really, like, a shame. And also, like I said, I think they got a lot of credit from the Singapore, the businesses in Singapore and whatnot, that hotels that let them shoot there and
the
probably
travel
didn't
bureau.
Charge. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure the place where they have the wedding reception, if they had actually booked to host a wedding reception, would have cost $30 million. So, like, they saved some money somewhere.
But you can't buy the publicity that this thing made.
No,
so.
No, absolutely not. I think, though, a sequel needs to be a little bit smarter than this, right? Like, I don't think a sequel could get away with the same...
I'm going to say something bad, but they're going to follow the book.
They're going to double down on the shallowness, you think?
They're going to go 50 Shades of Grey, too. Which went double down on all the stereotype and bullshit. But again, I haven't read the book, so please send me an email and scream
right
at me.
Yeah, okay. Beef, any final thoughts?
No, we'll get to that in a second. Okay, game plan. Check our bags, rate this movie, and then we could eat the three homemade Tupperware meals my mom packed for us.
Sounds
That's
awesome.
That's great.
So, wing for crazy rich Asians. Crasians. Are you going legendary?
Singapore bling.
Legend of its time.
Asian sensation.
Cult legend.
Melee mayhem.
Awesome.
Singapore fling.
Entertaining.
Dumplin' special.
Mayable.
Crouching mother, hidden grandma.
Forgettable.
Lazy written pages.
Abysmal.
Singapore flop.
Spring Breakers D&D.
The Interview.
Oof. You went dark.
I did.
Oh, God. I'm going to give this a crunching mother and grandma. Again, I want to give this movie the biggest prop to go with a 100% Asian cast, go with a 100% non-usual white male cast, which is awesome. We need more of that, and I think that's why the movie made that much money. And after asking a bunch of people at work, it seems that it is, because everybody was like, oh, it was fun, but yeah, it's not a great movie. So I'm very comfortable with my Mabel status. This movie, again, committed the worst sin a movie can commit. It bored me. It bored me to death. When I start looking at my phone during the second hour after going this, giving this a very good shot, you can't do it. You just can't. We lost Shark Tackle at the 51 minute mark, where she was like, "Yeah, screw this shit. I have another computer. I can watch other shit. Why would I do this to myself?" So yeah, I'm going with the Mabel. Crunching mother and grandma. This was so rote. This was so rote. Beef.
Other than the mother wasn't crunchy.
Crouching mother.
I think I'm going to go entertaining with a dumpling special.
Ooh.
I had fun with this. There were parts that were slow. 2 hours, we talked about that. And some stuff could have been tightened up. But overall, it was fun. It was serviceable. I mean, yeah, there were some stereotypes in it, but it was nice to have a cast that I really didn't know many people. I mean, I know what's her face, Michelle, what's her name, and I know
Yo. Michelle Yo
Bond girl, come on,
and I know the
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yep, and I know the woman from Humans, which was the sister. I like her. Yep. So, but it's just nice to see a kind of light. Well, I guess a little heavy at the end, but. Kind of romantic comedy with people I don't really know and go from there instead of having, you know, Tom Cruise walk out or somebody that totally takes you out of it. So I'm going to go with entertaining. Lobster.
Okay. So you know how after you eat a big meal full of Chinese food, right?
You're hungry again.
Real Chinese you're hungry food or American Chinese food?
American Chinese food.
Okay.
Go ahead, Beef.
You're hungry again in like an hour or two.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Like, it's filling in the moment, but ultimately a little, like,
empty.
Leaves you feeling... Yeah, you feel a little empty, right? So I am totally torn with this one, because I think there are lazy written pages here. Crazy Rich Asian, lazy written pages. Okay, it's awesome. That was a good one. I thought that was inspired.
That was good.
It's even better when you
describe it to us like that.
There is a bit of that with this movie where it is playing the rom-com, connect the dots, paint by numbers, right? Like, it is doing that to make you comfortable with the world that it's building for you. I think that the goal of this movie is to present Asian culture in a way that is palatable to... people who are not enmeshed in that culture, right? In other words, like American Chinese takeout, it is giving you foreign food, and I'm making the air quotey fingers, in a way that is palatable to you. It is your, it is literally the General Tso's chicken of Asian cinema.
You gotta pick something better than that.
Right? So, on the one hand, it sits in that kind of forgettable where I immediately confused it with other rom-coms that I've seen in the same vein. On the other hand, there is Dumplin' Special going on here. Do you know what I mean? There is something special happening in this movie.
Everybody's likable for the most part.
Like I was just going to say, the chemistry of the cast, yes. Everyone is so exciting, so fun to look at, so beautiful.
Fresh-faced, if you will.
Yes, yes. And I think that that comes from having the characters be in their element, and there's something where, you know, if you have the one Asian cast member on the movie or the TV show, like, you don't necessarily appreciate them for who they are as an individual. You see them as the token Asian character, right, in that show, right? And they, you identify them more with their culture as with their personality or their individuality. Whereas this movie,
perfect example, Deadwood.
Yeah, there's Dumplin' Special going on here where you get all of the characters in their diverse personalities, and you switch off the part of your brain that says, oh, well, they're that one culture, or they're that
that's
one
the Asian
thing.
Guy.
Yeah, that's the Asian guy, right? So I think that's something really awesome, because now I can definitely think of all of these people as not that's the Asian guy from Superstore, but that's the fun guy who, you know, had the joke about the gong, and they're like, why would you need a gong? And then she bangs the gong. Like, I thought that was a great setup, and then
that guy's amazing.
He's awesome, yeah.
Is that the slightly flamboyant one with the hair?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
He was,
yes,
cool.
Yeah. And he's on Superstore and is great.
I don't know what that is. You keep saying that word.
Superstore is a NBC comedy set at a Walmart-type establishment. So it's kind of like The Office, but set at a Walmart. That's my pitch. And that's literally what it is. So, again, like, I'm kind of in the middle here, and I'm leaning more towards Dumplin' Special, right? Like, I think the fact that this movie, by definition of what it is, has to be that rote, paint-by-numbers, tick all the boxes to make you comfortable enough that you let everything else in. Whereas
with
if
laughing
this
at
was,
the stereotypes and shit.
Right, like, I think if this movie was Crazy Rich Asians and also cultural references that you didn't understand and the plot was paced in a way that you're unfamiliar with, I don't think it would have made over $200 million at the box office. I think that this was a movie that, again, this is going to sound horrible, but Asian people could take their white friends to and say, like, see, this is our culture. Kind of like My Big Fat Greek Wedding in a way, yeah, right? Like, it had to do that and give you the outside perspective to, like, bring you in, and then you are on board, right? Like,
yeah, if I may add to what you're saying, it might be the necessary evil to bridge,
right,
both cultures.
Absolutely, yeah. So, again, I'm like 1.5. I'm really more like 1.75. So I'm going to give it the Dumplin' Special.
I was going to give you so much shit for, like Wing always says, you know, we created a spot for that.
Yeah. So, but again, I think in this case, the positive outweighs the negative. So I'm going to put it in the Dumplin' Special. That doesn't mean I'm going to remember much when the sequel comes around. Because, again, like, an hour after watching the movie, I had to go back and read the Wikipedia page to remind myself, like, what the general, like, oh, yeah, and then this happened and yada, yada. And then there was this character who relates to this. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of my friend at work, when I was asking around, what I was like, okay, what do you think of this movie? He was like, you know, if you want real good Asian movie, I can make you a list.
Yeah. Like, oh, no, okay. Yeah. And, you know, whatever those movies are, go check them out, right? Like, if this is your gateway drug that gets you into watching films with Asian stars, like, this is horrible, but go watch Old Boy. Like, go watch something really meaty that you can sink your teeth into and be surprised. Don't watch
Is she the killer
don't watch
or some shit like
don't
that.
Watch the Old Boy with Thanos. No,
or
don't
like,
do that.
Or like Train to Busan or The Raid, right. Or
oh, God, right.
That was
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The Raid is Brazilian, but yes, sure.
The Host, a whole bunch
the
of
Ring.
Cool stuff. Yeah. So again, there is stuff that you can watch that if this is your gateway drug, fine. Like if you know, if you have American Chinese food, like go find a Chinatown and go to like an authentic dim sum place. Like you will be so glad that you did. And you will not
Or you will be disgusted at eating chicken feet.
No.
But one or
no,
the other,
no,
it's gonna be an experience.
Listen, I have two words for you, soup dumplings.
Oh, yes.
And that's all you need to know, right?
Yes. I agree with
two
you.
More words. Pork bun. That's it.
Last
that's all
yeah,
that's
word on Crazy Rich Asians.
Pork buns.
Dumplings.
Crazians.
God damn it.
Come in.
Beef. What time is it? Time to get some hate mail.
No. Fuck. No, it's time.
And it's beef at legendspodcast.com.
Yeah, beef at legendspodcast.com.
That is yeah. Stargate Pioneer at Gonna Geek.
Jesus Christ.
.com.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Just
so,
hashtag Crasians.
Jesus Christ.
Please do. Oh. Please do.
Sorry, Star Pie. box office.
That sucked
this weekend. So, Secret Life of Pets 2, 46 million on the weekend.
The
number
first
one
made 106.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It is a precipitous drop.
Isn't this like 5 minutes after the first one came out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the first one had Louis C.K.
Did they make two of them right away?
Like, let me just put that in perspective for you. The first one was a kids' movie starring the comedian who is now famous for forcing women to watch him jerk off.
I don't know if he really ever forced anybody. He just did it in their presence.
I'm pretty sure he made
Fair
it.
Enough, but you know what?
I'm pretty
not
sure
better.
He made it mandatory.
No,
yeah.
I know it's not better. I'm just saying because it's kind of hard to grab someone and control them when you're trying to pleasure yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, just saying.
I mean, I think there's such a thing as being paralyzed by being horrified. But okay.
Yeah.
So
but Dark Phoenix with 33
yes.
million
yeah.
to be nice.
Wow, that's small.
Is the lowest. X-Men movie opening
yeah
ever
so the one
X-Men
in 99
yeah. made $55 million.
Oh
which
my
there is so in our news I kind of have some articles that get to the bottom of this so there are a couple factors and I think I'll just kind of skip ahead now and talk about
let's
those.
Talk
so the Dark Phoenix postmortem on our news list. I don't know why I put it all the way at the bottom. I should have put it immediately because we're talking about it right now. But the couple things happened. So Dark Phoenix was originally supposed to open in February, right? So it wasn't going to be a summer tentpole movie. They had not created the movie, written the movie, shot the movie, edited the movie in the vein of competing with Avengers Endgame. Like, that was not their goal with this movie. They felt that X-Men Apocalypse went too big on spectacle. They needed to dial it back a bit. I don't know why you would pick the Dark Phoenix storyline to do that, considering it's among the most cosmically epic of the X-Men stories, and why you would say, let's just do a small character piece, but with the Dark Phoenix saga. Like, that to me does not make sense. Like, do the Extinction storyline, the mutant massacre, do something with Mr. Sinister. There's a whole bunch of stuff you could do, the adventures of Cyclops and Phoenix in the future, right? There's a whole bunch of stuff you could do in X-Men territory that is small and personal and character-based. Dark Phoenix just does not work, right? Guys, am I right?
It is a bit big, and by that, I mean it's pretty freaking huge. It didn't work once already. Why go back to the well with one of the writers?
As the director, thank you.
And a writer. Apparently they were doing reshoots every night and rewrites every night and every morning. And I know stuff gets adjusted on set all the time, but this was crazy, people said.
Especially shitty shit show, right? So that's one thing that happened. The other thing that kind of happened with this, James Cameron did not want Battle Angel Alita to open in December. Remember, it originally was going to go up against Aquaman and Bumblebee all that Mary Poppins and all that stuff that was hitting in late December. And then it got pushed to February. So then that pushed X-Men to the summer, right? So, again,
that push it though? Just because X-Men
it was the same studio. It was Warner Brothers, or not Fox. It was Fox making both movies. They didn't want to compete against themselves,
right?
So they moved Dark Phoenix off to June. So
move.
So that happened, right? Other things that have come out since. Are that Laura Shuler Donner, who's the longtime producer on the X-Men franchise. Everyone was like, "Oh, so sorry about your movie." And she's like, "Fuck, I've been done with this shit since Days of Future Past. I have had nothing to do with the X-Men franchise." So that just goes to show you that the people that they think are kind of running things are not running things. So it comes off like no one's really in charge here, and they're just kind of...
Simon Kinberg was basically directing some of the old X-Men movie when Bryan Singer went AWOL on the last three? Four?
Yes. 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 Yeah. So that is what happened. Matthew Vaughn also came out recently and re-emphasized. So he did X-Men First Class, and he had originally written a whole trilogy that would have ended with Days of Future Past, because he was like, look, if this is the movie that brings together the old cast and the new cast, like, that's the biggest one you can do. You're only going to go downhill from there. And I think he's kind of right. I mean, we can all point to Days of Future Past and Logan as the peak of the X-Men franchise, and then Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix have just been meh.
On the other hand, what does Matthew Vaughn know? When he doesn't do an original story and an introduction, it sucks. Have you seen the Golden Circle?
It is pretty bad.
It's bad. It's not It's pretty bad.
I didn't hate it, but it's pretty... I'm a popcorn action guy, and I was kind of like...
First one is fun. The second one is dog shit.
Agreed. It's not as good.
I don't know about dog shit, but yeah, it's pretty bad.
I didn't like Kick-Ass 2 either, but did he direct that?
No, he gave it to somebody else.
Oh, you didn't like Red Mist?
I mean, Red Mist was in the first one.
No, he wasn't.
Yes,
Red Mist was the bad guy in the second one, wasn't he?
No,
Red
Mist is McLovin.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm an asshole. Rescind my statement.
Yeah. There we go. That's email to Stargate Pioneer. Yeah.
Let's talk about the new picture for the new poster for Wonder Woman. It's very Valkyrie from...
Okay, so it is Pride Month, so that is something to keep in mind. And it will be released in Pride Month 2020, June 5th, 2020. So that, again, everyone's like, oh, why is it so rainbowy? And I'm like,
seriously?
It's very on trend. I didn't
have a problem with the rainbows at all. It's very Valkyrie.
Oh, the gold armor?
Yeah, like the armor looks very very much like Tessa Thompson in her armor. Yeah. That's all I meant.
I'm going to say very Kingdom become Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Sure,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Tessa Thompson.
Yeah, so if you look up Wonder Woman Golden Armor, there are lots of examples of her, sometimes with like the American flag as a sash or as a cape to go along with it. So it's called the Golden Eagle Armor. It's pretty cool looking, right?
Yeah.
Golden Eagle Armor.
It looks great. Actually, this poster is... You know what? Besides all the freaking poster that are all copy and paste, this was a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, this was nice. Simple, to the point, got you excited for what it looks like a very colorful superhero film. This is kind of the one bright spot in DC news over the past week. So they canceled Swamp Thing, and people have lost their minds because
6 days after it first aired.
6 days after it first aired, we knew that the production was in trouble because they cut the episode order. But before the second episode was released, they canceled the show, which is better than Jessica Jones, which still hasn't premiered, and we know it's canceled.
Yeah.
So, again, make of that what you will. We'll talk about that trailer in a few minutes. DC Universe, as a streaming service, is now on death watch because WB is Warner Brothers is reportedly developing their own streaming service to go up against Disney Plus, and they're thinking, well, why would we split our audience with stuff that's on the DC platform? Why not just roll it in with our Warner Brothers streaming platform, right?
Yeah, think about it. You're going against Disney. And right now, you have that little niche comic book kind of streaming service-y where you have access to actual comic book.
Right.
And a lot of people that I've talked to
only use it for the comic books. They're not watching the shows.
There you go. And your other option is like, oh, wait, we just got bought by AT&T, which owns a bunch of content, including HBO and HBO Go, which is a platform that exists. It's already developed. It's just rolling. We just changed some logo in there, and we have a full Warner Bro streaming service instead of having that super niche one. So it makes a lot of sense to do that. What sucks is that instead of shopping Swamp Thing around, being like,
right,
CW, why don't you take it? Netflix, which produced fucking Black Lightning, which plays on CW as well, why don't you want it? No, they just canceled the old thing, and the only show that they're shopping around is Titans,
yeah, which is not critically the best show on their platform.
But it's so good.
It's good, but the best show on their platform critically is Doom Patrol, right? Like, that's gotten the best overall reviews. It just doesn't sound like anyone's watching it.
That's the problem with this show, is that since the platform was going to shit, they didn't promote it at all. So, except people like you and me that look at the news and keep, like, an updated time on the news... Don't watch that show. And I'll be honest on one other thing. If you get me to pay for your streaming platform, that's great. When you release a show, you better fucking drop the whole season in a row. Because if you make me wait week by week, I watch the first two episodes of Doom Patrol, and right now I'm just waiting for them to drop so that I can watch them on another Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, that is another problem with the... week-by-week model on streaming. Again, it's hard to make a water cooler show like a Game of Thrones. But on the other hand, the reason why you would pay for a streaming model is the convenience of you can watch as much or as little as you feel like in a given moment.
Yeah, and when you plan it well, Netflix is really good at that. They have, like, let's take, like, last year or 2 years ago. You had, like, Stranger Things in December and October. And then you add that other, like, horror show that was about a mansion, which everybody were talking about. And then
Haunting of Hill House.
here you go. And then you went into November, where everybody was talking about Punisher. And then we got into January, and then we
Black Mirror shortly after that.
Yeah.
There you go. So instead of having like a show that goes from like 6 weeks, which, let's be honest, the Game of Thrones and these Battlestar Galactica, when they go to, oh, this is working, we're not going to make them wait 2 years for the next episode. They have 6 weeks of words of mouth anyway, because they put everything in the same bunch and then wait for 2 weeks. So it's the same thing as dropping an old freaking season, which takes to the normal person around 3 to 6 weeks to watch.
Right.
So that's when you are able to talk about it. That's when you go watch your videos online. That's when you get your word of mouth and all that stuff. There's a way to do it correctly, but the week-to-week model on streaming... I'm sorry, I'm just waiting for your show to be finished, and the word of mouth is done. I'm just catching right. up at that point.
Yeah, at this point, it'll be interesting to see if the platform itself survives, for them to drop the rest of Swamp Thing, but we'll see.
They said it's going to come out week by week for the next 7 or 8 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, even though it's fucking canceled, they should just...
drop it all.
Yeah, just give it all to us now. And whatever. I watched the first episode and didn't hate it. I didn't necessarily love it either, so we'll see. Interestingly enough, one of the things that's swirling around in the swamp is that it may have been canceled because of a tax write-off snafu, where they were supposed to get like $40 million and they only got 16 or something like that.
That's been talked down already.
Yeah, so yeah. I think it just came down to... what the hell do you do in a show about Swamp Thing? And they ran out of material. Well,
and they're,
right?
they're like, the first. They're also the first. The whole streaming service of theirs is the first people to. Why would you pull the trigger on these things now if everyone's doing it? You know, everyone's got a streaming service. No one's going to have content. No one's going to pay for all these fucking things. So,
right.
Shows aren't. All these shows can't work.
It's true.
But still, one fucking episode.
Disney one to cancel all their other shit, so.
Still, one episode, though. That's a little stupid.
Yeah. Okay.
Again, Jessica Jones. It's canceled in the next season, and then is in 3 months or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It hasn't even come out yet.
So. Yeah, but they're still releasing it. I mean, that's obviously. Yeah. They're not saying it's canceled.
They're still releasing
they're just
it.
Not
they're
renewing
still.
It.
I don't know how well they're promoting it. They're still making trailers for it. So.
They're just not renewing it. They, you know, yeah. I mean, that's. Sometimes you don't renew shows. They're not going to can the shit they already have.
Okay. Speaking of things in the can that we may see in the future, Quentin Tarantino wrote a script for a Star Trek movie, and it is out there. Or he co-wrote a script. Apparently, he needs to weigh in on the script.
It seemed to be a pitch that somebody else wrote for him.
Yes. So we'll see. We'll see what that looks like. I'm still interested to know what the next iteration of Star Trek cinema will be. It doesn't sound like they're going to go back to Chris Pine and so forth, but we'll see.
I'm happy we got a trilogy out of them, because I don't think we're ever going to see them reprise these roles ever again. So,
doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, at this point, Discovery is better than whatever movies they gave us with the original cast, and they've already recast Puck and Spot and Pike, and that right. worked so much better.
Very well. Speaking of reprising their roles, Sigourney Weaver, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd are reported to return for the July 2020 Ivan Reitman Ghostbusters.
Woo! Intrigued.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens, right?
I'm just excited because we know everybody's under contract. We saw that teaser thingy kind of thing. So I'm stoked. We're getting the actual Ghostbuster tree that we wanted. Hopefully it's as good as we hope.
Right.
And that's going to give us a nice... Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I love the last Ghostbuster, because Tor was so funny in it.
It was good. Work, yeah, just... I've been meaning to rewatch that soon, because I enjoyed it.
It's so funny. Yeah.
The Good Place will end with season 4. This is not a cancellation. This is the show creators and show writers saying,
just like Game of Thrones. Okay, go on.
That they that they want to They don't want to draw it out. They want to end strong. And if you've watched The Good Place at all, you know that it moves very quickly as a show. It does not stay in one place with its characters for very long. So I can imagine that that kind of writing and that kind of acting is a little exhausting. So I applaud their efforts to wrap things up in a satisfying way. I strongly recommend this show. If you haven't watched it, go check it out. But very, very well done. Very, very funny. And good philosophy and existentialism going on there. And speaking of Warner Brothers and their streaming service, they're going to develop a Dune series based on the Bene Gesserit Sisterhood. I don't even know where to start with this one.
It's produced by Denis Villeneuve, and it's based on the universe is creating.
Denis Villeneuve?
Denis Villeneuve. It means new town. Villeneuve.
Just call him Denny V.
Yo, what up, Denny V, my man?
Yeah, Denny V, my man. I like that. So the fact that he's involved with this and it's in this old Dune movie aesthetic, I'm positive.
Yes.
I'm trying to...
You know, so this is kind of funny. Like, I'm a huge, huge fan of the David Lynch Dune.
You are?
Yes, I am. And I will defend that movie until I die. And someday I'll force you all to watch it again and listen to me rant about it.
That's going to take a lot of Jameson.
Yep. So that being said, more stuff going on in the Dune universe, if well done, I'm on board with, right?
Agreed.
The Bene Gesserit kind of freaked me out because they stick your hand in that box. And that's put the thing on your neck. And
all Dune kind of freaked me out as a kid, yes. To be honest. Yep. It was all fucking weird.
And you had Sting in his little Speedo.
Hey, I don't want to... God, stop it.
I kind of like the TV show with Professor X. So.
I like the Children of Dune one from a few years ago, Sci-Fi did. That one wasn't horrible.
Okay. With Professor X, yeah.
With Professor X,
oh,
but still.
Oh, God, stop it. I don't even remember. Jeez, don't yell at me.
It's McAvoy doing that. So.
Okay, a couple of trailers.
Mini trailers.
Yep.
Okay. Diarrhea.
This podcast is going on longer than Crazy Rich Asians.
Crazians.
So, yes. three trailers. Just to put a button on it. First up, Ad Astra.
Where the fuck did this come from?
What if Brad Pitt was a spaceman who had to hunt his father, Tommy Lee Jones, who was experimenting on something that could destroy the solar system? And, oh my God, he was on the space station. And he fell out of space, and he's going to go, and there's a gunfight car chase
movie?
On the moon and moon buggies. And
moon
holy
buggies.
What? Yeah, moon buggies.
How
yeah.
long is this movie, and where the fuck did it come from? Why haven't I heard about it till just now? Oh, wait, that's how trailers work?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
But no, we know stuff before that.
Yeah, this comes out of nowhere. But on the other end, at this point, we're more interested in Brad Pitt's divorce than his career, so...
Yeah, but he just got done doing the Hollywood thing. Where the fuck did this come out of?
And this looks cool.
And it's September. It's in 3 months it's going to be here.
I want to imagine that Tommy Lee Jones is the same guy he played in Space Cowboys, right?
I think he is, because I just looked up this movie, and Space Cowboys is the first thing that comes up with it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You should put Space Cowboy on the list. That was good.
Okay. Anyway, I think this looks fun. Ad Astra means from the stars, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Jessica Jones season 3 trailer. Again, this is something we talked about. It's gonna happen. It looks crazy.
It's like Punisher season 2. You might as well watch it, because if you don't, when it's gone, you will be mad.
It's gonna be the Dark Phoenix of the Marvel Netflix universe.
Right. Listen, I hope they knew this was their last season. Like, that's all. Like, I just hope they knew that they weren't going to get renewed when they were making it. and at some least closure. Did, yeah, at least did something.
Hey, look, all the defenders, they stopped by.
Right. At least did something to wrap it up and not end on a cliffhanger or something like that, because we're not going to get resolution, unfortunately, and that sucks.
We got a Jessica Jones three-season show and a Daredevil three-season show, which
two seasons of Luke Cage. I would have traded a season of Iron Fist for another season of Defenders, but whatever.
Yep. Well, Iron Fist was...
yep, it existed. So, Frozen 2. I know Wing's excited.
We might have to watch Frozen 1.
I'm excited.
We might have.
Beef has no idea what's happening.
I will watch it. We just got to watch Frozen 1 first.
Okay. So, there you go. This trailer looks fun. Some of it's a repeat of the first trailer, but just giving you some context. And, yeah. Cool. Game of Thrones with mutants. That's all.
Yeah. Great. I'm down with this. Mutants, someone said.
Yep. Okay. Word. What is in the pod for
okay, I'm week? Confused because next time, Legends Podcast, Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. When this is a Legends of 99. I even looked it up on Google, but when I thought this came out much later than that.
Nope.
When did the next one come out?
2002.
Yeah.
That's the one I was thinking. Damn. So yes. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
He was doing one every 3 years. Now we're like spoiled with one every 2 years.
The summer movie of 1999 that everyone was lining up around the block to see, Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Misa so excited.
Ugh.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Ugh.
I think we may. We have invited a guest, my old friend Kent from Art House Legends, to join us. We'll
we
see if he
shows the movie for him. Oh my god.
Yeah. No, he said he would be excited to do this. We'll see if he if his pod racer gets him to us on time, but.
Yeah, Galaxy's Edge just opened. I'm watching a million of videos on
that. Yeah. Now's the time to talk about Star Wars, and December will be the time to talk about Star Wars. So we decided this is a summer movie. We're going to do it in the summer. But
woo!
Woo! Wait, what?
Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, right. We're going to do that, and it's going to be fun. And this has been episode 426 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, I don't even remember much other than virgin births and something.
I'm John D. saying, Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars.
I'm John O. Lobster saying, Beef, you didn't remember the fact that his lightsaber had two blades?
Oh, that dude, yeah. But doesn't he get cut in half in like 30 seconds?
Spoilers!
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but he comes back in the ninth movie.
Yep. He does. It's all good.
He was in Solo.
Solo. Oh, that's right. He shows up again. At least the top half. The bottom half
doing,
is off.
Doing nefarious
doing
things.
Doing the nasty somewhere. Yeah.
Go figure. When your bottom half does things your top half doesn't want to, you know.
Dancing for Jabba the Hutt is what I do.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit legendspodcast.lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legendstream Canada, GunnaGeek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended.